The following message is from King's Church 1066, based in Hastings, Bexhill and the surrounding area. For more information, head to our website, kings1066.org.
Amazing, amazing. Good morning. It's so good to be sharing with you guys this morning. Just before we start, I just want to take us back to that last song we were singing about the love of God. So why don't you, just if you feel comfortable, why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? Just want to remind us what Scripture says, that when we ask Jesus to come and be the king of our heart, it says he pours the love of God into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just have that image over you right now. And friends, if you don't know Jesus, that's the invitation for you this morning, that you can have the very love of God poured into your heart this morning. Thank you, Lord. We give this morning to you. Thank you that you're here. Thank you. We've got to worship you. And we want to continue to worship you this morning, Lord, with our hearts ready to receive and respond. Amen. Amen. So as Hannah said, we are currently in a series, God's Better Story. I don't know about you guys, but I've just loved hearing so much truth and biblical wisdom about God's better story for sexuality, for marriage, singleness. And today we are going to look at God's better story for love and friendship. We'll all be coming into this subject with our own worldviews and our own different experiences of love and friendship. Some of us may have been blessed with wonderful friendships over the years. Some of us might be really lonely today. And some of us might have been really hurt by friendships. But I encourage you, let's take a step back and let's look at God's better story for friendship and how he invites us to his better story. Men, I speak to you. I'm aware it's Mother's Day and it's a talk on love and friendship, but let me encourage you, this isn't a flowery, wishy-washy thing. This is about us showing self-sacrificing, raw, down-to-earth love, the love of God to one another. So we and our culture, I find we often have a low short-term view of friendship. There's some wonderful friendships we see in the world, but also there isn't. I think in a world where we can click accept or ignore on friends and friends requests, where we have however many hundreds of friends to try and keep up with on social media platforms, where life's busy, I don't know about you, I've definitely done this, confession time, been busy, you're in a rush, you've got somewhere to go, you see someone, you see a friend, you're like, head down, keep going. Where the world says, you do you, you put yourself first. When a friend hurts in the world, just cut them out. You don't need them in your life. Where the stats of poor mental health have shot through the roof post-COVID, and in a world where loneliness is rife, my point number one, God has a better story for friendship. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at God's better story for friendship, his bigger story for friendship, and finally, his best story for friendship. So like I said, God's vision and intention for love and friendship between us is far bigger and far better than what the world tells us. But don't just take it from me. Let's look at the words of Jesus. If you've got your Bibles with you, why don't you turn to John 15? We're going to look at verses 12 through to 17, and it will come up on the screens behind me as well. Let's have a read. Jesus says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you should love one another." Amen. So here we see Jesus has such a wide and deep view of love and friendship. This is set by God himself, the God who is love, the Father who is love. And how did he express his love for us? By sending his one and only Son from heaven to earth to live the perfect life and die the death the world deserved. That is how the Father expresses and shows his love for us. But just backtrack with me for a moment. Through the gospel stories, the accounts of Jesus' life, we see the life that Jesus lived before his death, Jesus used as an invitation of love and friendship to people. And he also showed us how to do love and friendship with those around. We see in the passage, right, we just read it, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Now, we might not all die for our friends. Some of us might. And obviously, Jesus did. But we still get to show radical, self-sacrificial love in friendships. We, church, brothers and sisters, we get to display Jesus Christ in how we love and do friendships. Let me just say that again, because often friendships can just be a bit like sidelined compared to other stuff. Guys, we get to display Jesus' love in how we do friendships. So if our friendships express the love of God and express what his kingdom is about, then I think we need to take seriously in our hearts this morning. I know this has challenged me as I've been preparing. We need to be prioritizing and proactive in how we form, foster, and nurture and deepen friendships in our lives. When a world shouts to us of independence and isolation, we need to be the ones that say, God has a better story for love and friendship for the world. Is everyone with me? Yes. So how does this look like? What does this look like? Well, I love the analogy that Paul uses in Philippians of our lives looking like a race. And we can think about that as quite individual, yet I'm on my mission, I'm going to the end. But also we see from the verses we've just read and so much else in scripture, guys, we're not called to do this on our own. We are not called to love Jesus individually. In one sense, we are. But in one sense, we have been given a family. We've been given brothers and sisters to run along with us. So we're going to, first of all, just look at the depth of friendship that God intends for us. And a friend of mine in here talked about friendship like running partners. And I love that. Who's running with you? Who's cheering you on? Who's encouraging you? Who's giving you challenge and tips and all sorts? Who's giving you love as you run? And some of us, we all have different running partners, right? If our life is 26 miles long, however many years God gives us, for some of us, we're going to have friendships that last a lifetime. We're going to have friendships that go the whole 26 miles. We might not see our friend for 6 months, 2 years, but we know that they're with us. For some of us, we might have friendships in different seasons that come and go, 5, 10 miles with us. For some of us, we might have deep, wonderful friendships for just a mile or two. But guys, every good, healthy, God-given friendship should spur us on no matter how long the season. Sometimes proximity, stage of life, work dictates who we run with in the seasons too. We also have different running styles. Now, I really hope that none of you run like me because I am an awful runner. Do you know Phoebe from Friends? That is literally me. But thank God that we all run differently, right? And so that means we all do friendship differently. And that's brilliant. That's wonderful. There's no set way of doing friendship. God gives us so much freedom. We're talking about people in friendships, right? So that means it's complex, it's layered, it's varied, it's full of emotion, it's full of different personalities. This is how God made us, and that's good. So the way we express friendship and love to one another is going to look different. I know for Janair and I sit me down over 3 hours for a cuppa and I want to go deep. I love saying what's in your heart, what's going on. I love to be challenged and provoked. Janair, he feels like that's an interrogation. He's like, get me some wood and an axe with a mate, and we'll chop wood and we'll chat together about life. And that's just us two. There'll be so many different experiences about friendship. Factors like what generation we're in, the culture we're from, our upbringing, our gender, our personality types, they all shape how we do friendship. And in and amongst the differences, there's some wonderful foundational outlines that God calls us to as Christians. With no excuses of gender or personality or culture, these are some of the things that God outlines throughout Scripture. We are called to love others. If you're a Christian here today, that is a calling of God on your life. Not to be so inward looking, but to look out. Who can we love? We are called to serve others. We see it in Jesus getting down on his knees, washing his mate's feet. We are called to serve others. We're called to forgive. And that pangs sometimes, right? But we're called to forgive. We're called to share what we have. We're called to bear with one another. And this is all sounding a bit heavy, but I think we're called to have fun with one another. Jesus came so we could have life in the fullness, and that's absolutely with him. But he's given us family and friends to have fun with. Jesus, I'm sure, had loads of fun at the wedding he went to. We're called to have fun. And then with our Christian friendships, church, we're called to break bread together. Remember Jesus. We're called to worship and pray together. I had the honour of visiting a couple of Connect groups this week across our beautiful town. And it was so good to see friendship functioning across generations and differences in homes together as people worshipped and prayed. Just a side note, if you're feeling lonely and isolated in the vastness of big church, I would encourage you, serving Connect groups are two wonderful ways that you can place yourself in an environment where friendships can be formed. And that might seem like the biggest step to you right now to say, I'm going to sign up to do the tea and coffee. But I can assure you there are small family groups within this bigger family that will welcome you with open arms. So Jesus had his 12 disciples, right? But there seems to be hints that he also had his three closest friends. And we've talked about the depths of friendship. I just want to just prod a little deeper still, if that's all right. We, I believe, are meant to have friendships where it's okay to say, I'm not okay. Where it's okay to ask someone, how are you actually doing? And I'm talking to all of us, different generations, genders. It's okay and good and right to have friendships where we can really open up. This might just be with one, two, three people. Friendships that pour courage into us. Friendships that where there's trust and rapport and invitation to speak into one another's lives. Friendship that brings rebuke and challenge. Man, I need that in my life. Friendships where we're vulnerable and we can be transparent and say, this is me. Brother, sister, I invite your input into my life. Please pick me up, challenge me. I need you to speak into my life and vice versa. I'm aware these types of friendships grow over time. I'm not telling you to go out there and just splurge a rule to someone you've just met. These are fostered over time and they take intention. And they take time and love and trust to be built. But I'd encourage you to pray and be intentional about those close-knit friendships you have. So, what's the end goal of this first point, God's better story on friendship? I felt God spoke to me a while ago for this with my marriage, but then he's just blasted this out in terms of thinking through my friendships. As Christians, we get to view friendship in light of eternity, right? So I'd love you to just picture a friend or someone close to you right now. And I want you to think, how can you most love and serve that person so that they can be closer to Jesus in this life and a little bit more ready because of your input for when they stand before Jesus face to face? What a joy and honor that we get to have friendships that point us more towards Christ-likeness, that, as Jesus said in this passage, that point us to bear fruit that lasts. How different from a worldly perspective, right? The now and to come mindset. So I'd encourage you, who are you pursuing friendship with? Now we've gone deep, let's take a breath. God's love is high, wide, deep, and long. So God has a better story, and he has, church, a bigger story for friendship. Now, Janair and I, in our marriage, we so are learning. Still, we've got a long way to go about what friendship looks like. We have friends individually and friends together. We have friends that are single, that are married, that are older and younger. We have peer-to-peer friendships. We have friends with people with kids. We have friends with people that don't have kids who are like spiritual mums and dads and brothers and sisters to us. Guys, we all need friends to hang out with. We need friends that share common interests. We need friendships in our connect groups, friendships in and out of the church, friendships with Christians, and wonderful friendships with those who aren't saved yet. Friendship breaks down all of our differences. God just, it's a picture of what's to come, right? Every tribe and nation and tongue, we get to see that displayed in our little groups of friendships. Jesus' example through the Gospels is beautiful of this. He tells us to do what he already did. He showed us the way. I was reminded this week of two Simons in the Gospel. The house of Simon the leper, Jesus goes to in Luke's Gospel, and the home of Simon the Pharisee in Matthew and Mark's accounts. One, the leper, is shunned by society. The other one is held in high esteem. Jesus befriends both. He goes to their homes. He's real with them. He chooses to be publicly associated with them. Thinking of other people, Mary and Martha, two sisters, two women, and Jesus befriends them as a rabbi, as a guy. That wasn't okay in that society, but what does Jesus do? He befriends them. He weeps with them. He challenges them. He invites them in to sit at his feet to learn. What a beautiful, deep, and pure friendship Jesus had with them. We could go on and on about this, but just to name a few more. Who does Jesus befriend? A demon-possessed man, a guy up a tree, a lawyer, a blind man, the paralyzed, the rich, prostitutes, poor, sick, popular, outcast. Now this looks different for each of us, right? And we're not Jesus. And this can be really hard. I don't know about you, so often we can be in our comfortable, lovely friendships. Oh, I've got my 3, I've got my 12, and I'm fine. That's good, thank you, Lord. But we're not called to that, guys. We're called to look out of ourselves. I'm not talking about deep fellowship with everyone, but how can we befriend and love and welcome people that aren't like us, that don't look like us? How can we be intentional? Who can we have round for dinner? Who can we step out of our comfort zones with in friendship? Who can you sit next to at church who you don't know? Who can you stand next to in the school playground who's always on their own? Who can you help and say, come do the food shop with me while we chat? Who might not ever get invited out for a beer down the pub, and you could be that person that invites them? Who can you extend a helping hand to? Who can we show Jesus love to? I just challenge you, challenge us, challenge me. If we're feeling stuck or lonely in our friendships, or if we're feeling too comfortable, church, let's get Jesus' commission and love in our hearts again that propels us out to love others. Amen. So just as we finish up, I'd love you to come with me on a journey of friendship. Feel free to close your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Feel free to close your eyes and just picture this in your mind. You meet a new person and you find out loads about who they are and you enjoy a lovely chat. After meeting in various places a few more times, they invite you around for a cuppa. You have such a great time chatting and they seem to just get you. You invite them into your home to have dinner, and from there, you begin to build up a friendship with them. As you go for walks, you begin to open up to them about your past, and they share with you too. You introduce them to your family and you to theirs. Their dad is incredible and their family is huge, but they welcome you with open arms. They've written a biography about their life, which you greatly enjoy reading. And you end up being able to ask so many more questions about their life. You feel like you're building trust with them. Months turn to years, and you can't imagine going a day without chatting to your friend. Sometimes via text, sometimes for a catch-up, sometimes to go on an adventure together. They speak truth to you. They pour courage into you. They share their heart with you. They give you space to do the same every day. And through the times when you're a woolly, they call you out. You love introducing your friend to other friends, as you know that they'll get on with anyone. And over the years that turn to decades, through life's changes and ups and downs, your friend is there. Through the darker seasons of life, where it seemed easier to shut everyone else out, your friend was faithfully there to be silent with, to cry with, to lean on. Through the joy-filled celebrations, your friend is there, cheering you on, laughing with you, celebrating with you. And into your old age, you become ill and you pass away with your friend next to you, holding your hand. And as you open your eyes again after death, you see your friend shining bright with so many crowns on his head, sitting on the throne next to their father. And you're not surprised. You smile. You have been waiting for this moment all your life. Because as you've got to know your friend, you've known this to be true about them, that they have been your friend and they've been your king. And he says to you, come, good and faithful servant, I know you. Come and enjoy the inheritance my father has prepared for you. So feel free to open your eyes if you like. Now that was a totally flawed but tiny glimmer of what friendship with Jesus can be like. And again, it will look different for us all. But we know also that Jesus is the one who took our place in death. He's the one who's perfect in every way. The one who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one who's there every moment of every day and night. The one who never leaves us. The friend of the lonely. The friend of the hurting, the friend of the undeserving, the friend who will not let go, the friend who shows you who love is. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I, Jesus says to you, call you friends. I chose you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. So guys, God's best story for friendship is our friendship with the very God Almighty himself. He is King, he is holy, and we should be in awe and wonder. But yet, through Jesus' work on the cross, we can come so close. We can come and search the very heart of God. He's the one that says, I'm going to come and dwell in you by my spirit. This is friendship at its best. This is friendship and fellowship with our living God. Can I invite the band up, please? If you'd like to just stand together. I'm aware it's been a short amount of time and we've just gone through a lot. And there'll be different, like I said at the start, we'll all have different experiences and we'll be in different places with friendship and love. But I'd love us just to, why don't you just find a posture to just talk with your friends, your king right now. Jesus extends this invitation to you this morning. If you have never asked Jesus into your life before, you've never said, Jesus, I need you. I've messed up and I need saving from my sin and my guilt and my shame. I want friendship with you in this life and in the life to come. Then the invitation for you is open this morning. You can be friends with God. You can know peace with God. You can know forgiveness of sin this morning. If that's you, let's just have every eye closed. If that's you this morning, just in the quiet, no one's watching, I would love you before God to just raise your hand. If you think, I want to be friends with Jesus this morning, you just raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for hearts responding, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you've put your hand up, we would love to chat with you. We'd love you to head over. There's a prayer banner over in the corner at the end. We would love to talk more with you about what friendship with God means. For some of you, you might be thinking, I know God, but I want to know him more as a friend. I've neglected my friendship with God recently. Friends, I just say to you, there's grace. There's grace. And there's a saviour, a friend and a king saying to you this morning, come and know me again. Come and be with me again. It's not too late. There's grace. I want to show you my love afresh this morning. And for some of you, maybe just in your heart, God's bigger and better story of friendship has brought challenge like it did to me. Lord, who am I going deep with? Who am I extending love out with? God might bring to mind people as we respond now. You just act on that in your heart across the next weeks. Yeah, Father, we love you. Thank you for the greatest story of friendship that you show. Thank you that in this world that is crying out for friendship, you show the best story for friendship and you call us to be drawn in. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In your name, Jesus. Amen.